Well, you guys, I'm so excited to jump into God's Word together this morning. And I want to talk to you this morning about doing meaningful work. And we're going to talk a little bit about this number 523, which really, in the Bible, there are different numbers that have different representations. And we're going to talk a little bit about 523 in a few moments. But I want to talk to you really about doing meaningful work. And as we head into 2023, what does it mean for us to be living our lives in a meaningful way? What does it mean for us to be doing meaningful work in our lives? And I really believe that that starts with prayer, that starts with God's presence, that starts with a surrender and a yielding to God and to who He is. And really, even whether that be from a worldview standpoint of thinking through God's lens, or whether that actually be through an operational, practical standpoint of what we do with our lives, I think it's all of it together. And as we launch into 2023, I'm more convicted than ever as a pastor and even as a person, as a man, that we need to continue to lay down self-dependence and pick up God-dependence. And I'm very excited about that this year. I think God has been preparing us and showing us a lot of things. And I think we have a lot of potential in front of us. And as we talk about doing meaningful work, you might say, Pastor Scott, what does that even mean? What does it mean to live a meaningful life? What does it mean to do meaningful work as a church? What does it mean to do meaningful work in our communities and our families, in our lives? And I want to remind you that toward the end of last year, we did a lot of work talking about the biblical framework of two realms, that there's an uncreated and a created realm, that there's God who's uncreated from the beginning, and then there's a created order, and that those come together. And really, in the book of Genesis from the very beginning, we see that those two are actually in connection with one another, and that they actually touch, and that they actually interrelate. And really, in many ways, what ended up happening is that those were broken through sin, through human frailty and human free will exercised against God, and that really through the person of Jesus, those two realms synced up, the possibility of them syncing up happened once again. And through the person of Jesus, we can once again experience eternal life, which is taking the created life that we've been given and syncing it back into eternal life. Two realms, two kingdoms, the supernatural and the natural, the uncreated and the created. And in kind of that context, I wanted to start this morning, and I wanted to read you this scripture out of Psalm 127, 1 through 2. And it says this, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those that He loves." Here's the idea, is that if we're doing things, if we're trying to live meaningful lives, but we're doing them outside of what God is doing, then they're really ultimately going to come to nothing. If we are building a house, but the Lord's not building that house, we're laboring in vain. And I love how the psalmist says this. It says, the Lord watches over the city. Unless the Lord watches over the city, you can have guards watching the city, but they're doing it in vain. And then it says, in vain, you rise up early and you stay up late. That, to me, I feel like that's like anxiety, right? You getting up early, staying up late, all of these things that we do to try to make our lives meaningful. We're toiling for food to eat. And then it says, but God grants sleep to those that He loves. There's these two realms. And sometimes we get so into self-dependence and into this physical created realm, and we're working and we're staying up late and we're getting up early and we're toiling for food to eat and we're building our houses and we're watching our cities. And the Bible says, unless you connect the physical creation into the uncreated realm, the eternal realm, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. Hebrews 12 talks about a shakable world and an unshakable world, or a shakable kingdom and an unshakable kingdom. And there it is again. We see those two realms. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." And there Paul shows us these two realms again, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we see the uncreated and the created. In 2 Corinthians 5:16, a few verses later, it says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." Even the way that we live our lives toward other people, we don't regard them according to the flesh. We regard them according to the Spirit. There's another scripture in Romans that says, "To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death." And there it is once again. So I am a soul or a spirit, and I am living in a body. So let me kind of bring all of that together and say it like this: only what's done for the Lord will last. Of course, right? Because the created realm actually shakes and it falters and it kind of fumbles and stumbles away, but God's kingdom never does. So as we live in this created order, as we live in this created realm, as I live in this body as a soul, as a spirit, I live in this created body, I've got to be turning my attention to meaningful work, which is doing things that actually impact eternity, that actually step into connecting those realms once again in the eternal, because unless the Lord builds the house, I'm laboring in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, I can watch over the city. I can get up early and I can stay up late and I can toil and I can be anxious and I can build. But unless the Lord is building it, I'm building in vain. And the Lord gives rest to those whom he loves. In other words, God is building, God's working. But unless we connect what we're doing with what he's doing, we're not going to be doing meaningful work. And we'll see that in the last days as the shakable things shake and the unshakable things stay. Only what is done for the Lord will last. And this really changes how we measure success. It changes what we do. It changes our methods of operation in our life. It changes where we place our trust. It changes where our affections and our loves are. We become more dependent upon God and less dependent on ourselves. Only what's done for the Lord will last. Only what's done for the Lord will last. And that leads me into 523. The idea of 523, it's really interesting because we planted our church through ARC and the association-related churches, and they give you a number in the order of the church plant that you are. There's been over 1,000 churches that have been planted now through the ARC over the last 20 years, which is so cool, and we've been a part of so many of those. But we were ARC church plant number 523. That was our number that we received. And in the ARC world, that's kind of a thing that you kind of take pride in a healthy way, healthy pride, but you take pride in and you say, that's our church plant number 523. And I was reminded, you know, just going into this year that it's 2023. The zip code, the main zip code in East Lansing is 48823. And our ARC church plant number is 523. And in the Bible, the number 5 actually represents grace. And so really this idea of grace to the 23, grace to the 48823, grace to 2023, it's God's divine power and grace kind of pressed into 2023. And in the Bible, that number 5 shows God's divine presence, God's divine hand. And there's so many scenarios where this takes place. There's 5 smooth stones that David picks up from the brook to fight Goliath with. The holy anointing oil that's actually laid out and represents God's presence in the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 23 through 25, the ingredients are directly given by God, like prophetically given. Hey, he says, the oil represents my presence. Here's what I want you to make the oil with. And there's actually 5 parts to that mixture of oil. It was a revelation of God's grace. There's in the New Testament, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, he does so with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's that we bring what we have, and then God puts his supernatural hand on it. There's 5 colonnades by the pool of Bethesda, where Jesus heals the crippled man who's been crippled for 38 years. And so this idea of 5 in the Bible is really where God's presence shows up to do the work that human beings cannot do on their own. Where God's work shows up to take 5 smooth stones and defeat a giant that God's entire army had been staring at for 40 days. Where God's presence shows up represented by his oil and says, this is how I want you to see my presence. It's my grace. 5 loaves and 2 fish that we bring and say, it's not much. This little boy had a lunch, but God will give it to you. And in your hand, Jesus, it can feed the multitudes. And then 5 colonnades by the pool where we say, we can't heal, but Jesus can heal. And it represents the pool of Bethesda. And so 523 really, I believe, represents a new season of releasing self-dependence and moving into supernatural dependence upon God. And of course, we've always wanted to do that, and we've always been trying to do that. But I really believe that 523 is grace for the 23. That's year 2023, and that's 48823. I want to continue to kind of teach through this, but I want to just take a little side pause here and actually just talk a little bit about some of the things that you guys did in 2022, some of the things that God put his hand on in 2022, some of the areas where this 5, the number 5, shows up. And I believe these are some of the ways in which God is going to continue to bless Element Church and us as a people as we move into 2023. I'm going to move through these rather quickly, but I just wanted to share them with you as we enter into 2023, into a new year. But we recalibrated all of the services at Kellogg again. We came back, you guys. We did 52 services at Kellogg this year. That's absolutely incredible. incredible. And I don't know if you guys can remember the timelines, but as of March 6th, we were able to not wear masks anymore. I don't know if you guys were in person with us early in the year, but I was wearing a plastic mask. It was a clear mask so people could see my face. We call it the nacho tray. It was one of those like plastic trays or whatever. That was this year, you guys. eKids has opened back up into two rooms in person. We're so excited about that. And some of our teams are starting to reset, but recalibrating at Kellogg on Sundays. And God has really met us in that. It's been a beautiful process. We did some crazy spiritual investment into the Capital C Church, just the big church. Abby Dewey released her album. I'm actually wearing one of the shirts right now, especially for today, just to celebrate that. And we invested in some of the teachers at the schools through Turkeys for Teachers, and also with some of the teachers who had some tragedies in their life. We were able to be there and to be present. As we've always done, we've helped plant churches. We've partnered with other people. We did hurricane relief for Ian. You guys, so many things this year just through the spiritual investment into the Capital C Church. We invested in the next generation. We started two Bible clubs in the middle school, one after school on Thursdays and one before school on Wednesdays. We took youth down to the Element or Emotion Youth Conference in Birmingham, Alabama. You guys, we did so much work in MSU as well, just investing in the next generation. We sponsored participation in the Welcome Week events. We helped host MSU Now, which was a unity event to come together and to worship Jesus. There was between 300 and 400 students there from, I believe, 15 to 20. I don't know the exact number, 15 to 20 different campus ministries that all rallied together and actually worshiped Jesus for an evening together. And we got to be an amazing part of that. So cool investing in the next generation. And then just discipling and investing in people, just in general, soaping and 21 days of prayer. And we did two baptism services this year. We launched sisterhood events. We did some amazing e-groups, healthy relationships and freedom groups and how to pray. And we had an amazing men's group that met early in the mornings at Panera and Frandor. You guys, it was a great year of just spiritual investment into people. And as I alluded to earlier, we practically served our community. We partnered with Bob Evans to give out some meals during the Thanksgiving holiday, three meals specifically to three different families. We did turkeys for teachers, and we did Christmas giving for 10 families this year. You guys, it was absolutely incredible. And then really, we laid some groundwork for the future. We opened this downtown studio space this last year. That was absolutely incredible. And we prayed for 12 and a half years that God would give us a space in East Lansing. And guys, we're standing in it right now, this downtown studio space with an awning on Grand River across the street from the MSU Student Union. I don't think we have fully taken stock of all that that means yet, but I believe that in 2023, God is going to continue to put wind into the sails in this space. And we've continued also, you guys, to just do this space, just do this online space. And over this last year, there was over 34,000 minutes watched through our social media channels, YouTube, Facebook, and our app. So very, very cool. And we're just really excited about 2023. So cool to recap 2022 and just look at what God is going to continue to do as we move into 2023. And as I said, I really believe that this is a year where God is going to just continue to breathe supernatural wind into the sails. 523, grace for the 2023, grace for 523 Element Church, grace for the 48823, the East Lansing zip code. And so with the rest of the time that we've got this morning, I actually wanted to give you five simple prayers. It seems like five would be the right number for this year, for 2023. And as we move into 21 days of prayer, and as we really seek to lay down self-dependence in a new way and pick up God-dependence in a new way, I want to give you these five simple prayers. These are prayers that have been coming to me recently, and I've been praying, and so I wanted to share them with you. So as you have your notes, just take these down, and I pray you wouldn't just take them down in your notes. I pray you would actually put them into your prayer life. That's my prayer for us this morning. Five simple prayers for the year 2023. Number one, is God show me. God show me. There's two realms, right? There's the uncreated and the created. And we live so much in the created realm because we can see it and we can touch it and we can hear it. But God wants us to be aware of the supernatural, of the spiritual realm. As I alluded to in Romans, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. So these two realms, one of the things that we need to ask God for his help in is to allow us to see his kingdom and to see his perspective. Psalm 119, 18 to 19 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commandments from me." don't know if you caught that, but he's praying and he's crying out to God and he's saying, God, I'm a stranger in the earth. I'm living in this created existence, but God, let me see, open my eyes so that I can see the wonderful things that you're doing in your word, in your kingdom, in your realm. Don't hide your commandments from me. Let me see. God, show me. That's the prayer. God, show me. God, show me. In 1 Samuel 17, there's a story of David and Goliath. And as I alluded to earlier, we're talking about the number five today and just the grace. And David has the five smooth stones to fight Goliath. And if you're not familiar with the story, there's this huge giant named Goliath. And he is part of the Philistine army. And there's Israel's army. And they're actually in this up on these hills overlooking a valley. And what they would do is they would actually send out their best warrior down into the valley, each would send down. And then they would fight. And that would represent the battle between the armies. And so the Philistines sent Goliath down into the valley, and he was this huge giant. You can go read about it in 1 Samuel 17. Massive, massive. Depending on the biblical scholar that you read, they don't know exactly how tall he was, but just picture like Shaquille O'Neal and then maybe some more, and that'll give you kind of a picture. And he's actually all geared up. And it says that his spear is like a weaver's beam, like a beam of wood in a roof. And then he has actually another person in front of him as an armor guard with a shield. And so Goliath is in the valley and he's actually taunting God's armies, and he's saying, send someone down to fight me. And so for 40 days, no one will come down. Everybody's terrified and they're stuck. God's army is stuck. They don't know what to do. In their strength, they don't have the strength to combat Shaq in the valley. There's no ability. There's no one that has the strength to go down and to go to have combat with this person. They're stuck. And you know, sometimes we feel like that in our life, right? I believe this is a literal story, a historical story that actually happened. Also obviously has a figurative meaning in our life, that we face these battles, we face these giants. And I believe as they're facing this giant, they're stuck. And in our lives, we face giants, we get stuck. We don't know what to do. And really, we're praying this first prayer is, God, show me. It's amazing because David, he's this little kid, right? I mean, he's a young man. He's a young man, and his dad sends him to the front line of the battle, where she's not even at, to take his brother's food. And as he gets up to the front line of the battle to take his brother's food, he realizes what's happening, and he basically, I'm paraphrasing again, you can go read all of it in 1 Samuel 17. He basically says, "I'll go fight Goliath," and they think he's ridiculous. I want to read you something here that is very, very important, because David was able to see something that everyone else wasn't seeing. Because David was what they call back in that time, David was a slinger. He had used his sling. He had a leather sling, and he would put a stone in and he would turn it around and then let that stone go. This was obviously before like firearms and all of that. You know, he would let a stone go and he would hunt. He would defend the sheep with that. He used a sling. David had a different kind of warfare that God had taught him to use in the fields. And when David showed up, instead of looking at Goliath as everyone else was looking at in traditional warfare, David thought in his mind, God showed him a different way. He's like, I'm going to approach this battle in a different way. Verse 38 says, then Saul dressed David in his tunic. So David says, I'm going to go fight. And Saul actually dresses David as a warrior. He put a coat of armor on David and a bronze helmet on David's head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around. So he gets all of Saul's armor and sword and all of that. And he says, David says, I cannot go in these because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose five smooth stones from the stream. And he put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. And there it is, right? Is we get stuck in life and we're like, hey, everything that I know how to do, everything I've tried, it's not working. And then God just opens the eyes and he says, let's try it a different way. Let's do something a little bit different. And David takes off the helmet and he takes off the sword and he goes and he picks up five smooth stones from the river. He says, God, I want to be dependent upon you. God, I want to do something different. God, I don't want to just do what I know how to do. I don't want to be self-dependent. I want to be God-dependent. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. This is 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 50. I'll read a couple of the verses here. You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. That's traditional warfare. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. As the Philistine moved close to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. the Philistine fell face down on the ground. Verse 50, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. God opened David's eyes to see a different way, something a little bit different. And through that process, David said, I'm not coming to you in traditional warfare. I'm coming to you in the name of God. It's his battle and it's his fight. And this year, we can work with our physical abilities, with our carnal mindsets, or we can ask God to help us see what he's doing in a fresh way so that we can avoid attacks that might take us out and win battles that are in front of us that we could never touch with the way we thought about doing something. And you know, if we're going to actually see, we're going to actually ask God to show us, we're going to have to be people of prayer and people of the Bible, and we're going to have to be people that are honest with our emotions and our affections and our loves and our frailties and our sins. And we are going to have an honesty of soul. So one of the things I wrote down in my notes, an honesty of soul. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Let me paraphrase that. God, show me. God, show me how to do things out there. Show me how to fight battles out there. And God, show me in here. Show me, God, where I fall short. And God, show me where I'm thinking about things wrong. God, search me, know me, test me, help me process my anxious thoughts. God, if there's any offensive way in me, lead me in your way everlasting. Because there's these two realms. And God, as the psalmist said, I need you, God, to open my eyes so that I can see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your way from me. God, show me. Second prayer is this, is God, grow me. And this is, I love it, right? It's pastor speak. Show me, grow me. But it's how it came to me. And so I just wanted to share with you the way it came to me is to grow me. God, grow me. God, through the pain in my life and through the trials and the challenges of my life, God, would you grow me? And I want to look right into the camera and just everyone within the sound of my voice, listen to me. Your greatest area of potential in 2023 is probably your greatest area of current struggle. The place of greatest struggle and pain is probably the place of your greatest growth potential in 2023. We like to ignore pain. We like to allow ourselves to be victims of pain. That's sometimes a little bit more comfortable for me than actually just confronting pain and actually dealing with pain. I love Pastor Craig Groeschel. He said, pain is my friend. Starting to learn how to confront our pain and have a willingness to face pain because there's incredible opportunity and potential in that place. So it's God, show me is our first prayer, but God, grow me. God, take the pain and the challenge and the struggle that I'm facing. And again, you can fill in the blank on whatever that is for you this year, but God, show me how to grow through that. I love Viktor Frankl said this. He was he's a Holocaust survivor. He's also a psychologist. And so as he was going through the concentration camps, he was obviously going through it himself, but he was also kind of taking stock of what was happening all around. So some of his writings are really, really fascinating. He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And within that book, he said this. He said, in some ways, suffering ceases to be suffering at the moment that it finds a meaning. And obviously, as someone who went through the concentration camps and the Holocaust, he has authority to be able to speak on something like this. But he says, when you have suffering, it kind of ceases to be the same kind of suffering in the moment that it finds meaning. And our suffering in the kingdom, in God's kingdom, in the Christian experience, it has meaning. Our pain, our suffering, our trial, our challenge is a catalyst for dependence on God and growth and formation in him. And so in that way, our pain, yes, it's painful, but our pain actually, it's a catalytic opportunity for us to grow and to form and to become more like God and to walk in more dependence on God. Beth Moore said this, she said, God's ultimate goal for us is not to become successful, but that we would become dependent. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says it like this, for our light and momentary trouble, I will put in my words in the carnal created realm. The light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. It's saying that the trial and the challenge that you have here in this realm is actually creating something eternal within you that cannot be achieved any other way. And you can take whatever analogy you want, that diamonds are created in coal under pressure, or that pearls are created in oysters with irritation, whatever you want to pick. But there's this idea in the kingdom of God that the trial and the struggle and the challenge actually leads us to the place where we're formed into something beautiful. And so our second prayer is, God, grow me. God, take the challenge and the struggle of my life, because God, I believe that the greatest area of my struggle and pain right now is the greatest opportunity for growth in 2023. And here's the deal, you're not alone in that. That's why it's 523. It's grace for the 23, grace for 523, grace for 48823, grace for our church, grace for our city, grace for you. And that God supernaturally moves in. And so the question is, where in your life right now is pain pointing you to a growth opportunity? And here's the prayer. God, use my pain. God, use my frustration, my fear, my sadness, my grief to grow me this year. God, that I might grow closer to you and become more like you. Lead me into deeper formation. God, grow me. So it's God, show me, and God, grow me. And the third prayer for us this morning is, God, fill me. You know, you can only give what you have. Let me say it like this. You can only give away what you have available at the moment that you need to give it. So here's the thing. We believe, we know theologically, that if we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we have the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. That's a theological reality, and it's true, and it's powerful. It's one of the greatest truths that ever hit the face of the earth. At the same time, if we're not aware of the Spirit's presence in our life, if we're not filled with the Spirit in those moments, it's hard for us to give anything away. So if we're going to give something away, we're actually going to have to learn to receive something in. Jeremiah 2:13 says this, says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. So Jeremiah says, God speaking through the prophet says, my people have actually forsaken me, God. And then check this out. And they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. You've forsaken me as God, but then you've also tried to create your own kind of filling. You've tried to create your own well. You've tried to create your own place of satisfaction or sustenance or achievement or success, and it doesn't hold water. So you have to go back to the source of living water, and you have to give up these false cisterns that you actually have created. John 4, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman at a well, and he says this, everyone who drinks this water in this well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water that I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life. Jesus says, I am the source of the water. I'm the source of the filling. In John 4:11, the woman asked the question that I think we should be asking this morning. She says this, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? She's still trying to figure it out. She's like, there's this like natural water, but you don't have a bucket. And you're talking about living water. How do you get into the living water? So the question is, where's our bucket to dip into the living water? And the Bible tells us in Luke 5:16 that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That Jesus had this pattern and routine of pulling aside and actually spending time with God the Father to let the Father fill him up. And we know that Jesus was full of God's Spirit, but we also know that Jesus pulled aside to be filled up. And so we take time to draw water from the well. We take time to tap into spiritual water, spiritual eternal life. And that's as we enter into the season, 21 days of prayer. You guys, 21 days of prayer is a time to fill up. We know theologically the Spirit lives in us, but it's a time to become aware. It's a time to be in tune. It's a time to fill up and to allow God to fill us up. So go to the, again, 21 days of prayer, 21 days of prayer. Be involved, get involved, fill up theelement.church/egroups and go to 21 days of prayer. Request to join so we can send you all the information about how you can be a part from right where you are right now. So God, show me, God, grow me, and then God, fill me. And then a fourth simple prayer as we enter into 2023 is this, is God, use me. God, I pray that you would actually use my life for something that's meaningful. And here's the idea is that we don't create purpose, we discover purpose. We don't whip it up, we don't, you know, the culture tells us that purpose is somewhere down inside of you and that you should just seek that out. And as you seek that out, you'll find satisfaction and success. But the Bible actually says something different. The Bible actually says you will never find a calling without a caller. You'll never find a purpose without a purpose giver. That God is actually the source of our meaning and our purpose. God is the source of meaningful work. Remember, we talked at the beginning, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless it's the natural thing connected to the supernatural thing, there's really not a meaning, an ultimate meaning in it. And really, as you think about that, the uncreated versus the created realm, it's really interesting to just kind of hop over to this idea that many people have in our society today that there's only a created realm. and several prominent thinkers that say that there's only a created realm. I wanted to read you some quotes from them. This is Bertrand Russell, who was an atheist. He said this. He said, "The universe, as I understand it, is purposeless and void of meaning." He said, "The entire sum of human endeavors is destined to extinction in the vast death of the solar system." He's like, look, everything is going to pass away. It's all a created realm. It's all going to pass away. And if that's the case, then there's not a lot of purpose in that, right? There's not a lot of meaning in that. It's purposeless and void of meaning. He's being very honest about if you take God out of the equation, this is actually what you're left with. Richard Dawkins expressed a similar view. He said this, the universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. Richard Dawkins is like, look, it's just a created realm. There's no purpose and meaning in this thing. I could read so many of these. William Provine, he puts it really plainly. He says, "Let me summarize my view on what modern evolutionary biology tells us loud and clear, that there are basically Darwin's views. There are no gods, no purposes, no goal-directed forces of any kind. There's no ultimate foundation for ethics, no ultimate meaning in life, and no free will for humans either." And then the last one I'll read you here, Alex Rosenberg is even more to the point. And he says this, "What is the purpose of the universe? There is none. What is the meaning of life? Ditto," which ditto, there is none. "Does history have any meaning or purpose? It's full of sound and fury signifying nothing." It's from a book called An Atheist's Guide to Reality. Here's the deal. We believe in a God who is building a kingdom that's coming. And while we acknowledge that we're living in the created realm as it currently exists, we understand that God's realm is moving, that God is moving. Jesus was here and he said, "I never do anything that I don't see the Father doing. I never say anything I don't hear the Father saying. I'm in tune in a created realm, in tune with the supernatural realm. God, show me. God, grow me up. God, fill me up, and then God, use me. God, show me where you're working." And you know, we can mentally assent to that idea that God wants to use our life and that there's purpose in our life. But unless you take the principle of purpose and you actually put it into practices, you convert principles to practices, purposeful principle into purposeful practice, it doesn't really help that much. It's like paint in a can that doesn't ever get put on a wall. The power's in the application. And I think that so many of us, we feel like, well, I'm not living a meaningful life. I don't know what to do. Maybe you need to take what you already know and actually just put it into practice. And this is really hard for us, right? And I want to challenge you as we move into 2023. I believe that for some of us, this is our challenge. Anton Chekhov said, "Knowledge is of no value unless you put it into practice." I'm going to give you two super practical ways that you can put this principle of purpose and meaning in your life into practice. I want to read it to you out of scripture. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales." He's like, look, don't just get lost in like the conversation about all this stuff, all the theology. And rather, watch this, train yourself to be godly. Isn't that a concept? Train yourself to be godly. Practice. How do you train? You practice. Verse 8, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come," the created realm and the uncreated realm, the carnal life and the spiritual life, the here and now life in the physical and in the age to come. Train yourself to be godly. Put principle into practice. And there's two spiritual training practices that have been in my life and have been so helpful to me. And I'll say them like this. I guess you could say that there are three, but I'll put them into two. I'll put the first one, time and talent. And then the next one is treasure. And when we talk about doing meaningful things and living a meaningful life and living a purposeful life and asking God the prayer to use us, here's two super practical ways, two practices where you can really put paint on the wall. Number one is giving financially. And number two is serving people alongside your brothers and sisters. And, you know, I have a pastoral goal for this year, for 2023, is that every single person that would say Element Church is my home church, that they would be involved in giving financially. Now, that can look different for everybody, and I know that it needs to. And the Bible acknowledges that it needs to. But I believe that if Element is your home, that this is the place where God is moving in your life spiritually, that you should be involved financially. And that's obviously important for Element Church. Element Church we have a lot of work that we want to do this year. We have a lot of things we want to see happen. We want to bless our city. We want to continue to invest in kids in the middle school. We want to continue to have this space across from the MSU Student Union. We want to continue to preach the gospel. We want to continue to be online. We want to continue to do all these things. And we want to do more. We believe God wants to do more. We're so excited about that. But it's not just good for the organization and the mission. It's good for you. And it's important for you because it's a practice. It is training ourselves to be godly. It's a principle of generosity. It's the prayer of God, use me. Well, he has given us ways in which he wants to move through our life. So one of my pastoral goals this year is that everybody would be involved in giving in some way. I love Andy Stanley. He says this. He says, any fear associated with giving to God's kingdom is irrational. It's on par with a farmer who, out of fear for losing his seed, refuses to plant his fields. Giving to God's work is not something that we're giving away. It's an investment, not a loss. The farmer who sows doesn't lose seed. He gains a crop. And I want to challenge you as we're praying, God, use me. God, do meaningful work through me. God, show me what my purpose is. That one of the ways that God gives us simply that we can practice, that we can put this principle of purpose into practice, is giving financially. And another one is serving. It's just serving other people. Jesus says in the kingdom, those who are least will be the greatest. That the servant is actually the greatest of all. And so just having an opportunity to serve and actually to practice serving other people. And there's so many ways that you can do that. But one of the most simple ways is actually to be involved through serving at Element Church. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to do that. I want to invite you to do that. You can go to our website, theelement.church, and right on the main homepage, there's a button that says join the team. Join the team. Get involved in some of the outreaches that we do around here. Get involved in one of the teams. And you can do that even online. You can do that from right where you are. We have so many opportunities for people to be involved because purpose comes from practicing investing our time, talent, and treasure into the kingdom of God. So God, show me, God, grow me, God, fill me, and God, use me. God, use me. And last, God, stir me. And I love this analogy, and I've shared it for years, of a glass of milk that you put chocolate syrup in and you stir it up and you get chocolate milk. But if you put that in the fridge overnight and it sits there, all that chocolate will sink down to the bottom. What do? You got to pull that back out, and then what do? You got to stir it up. The chocolate's already in there. It's already chocolate milk, but you got to stir up the chocolate at the bottom of the glass. And 2 Timothy 1:6 in the New King James Version says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is within you. In the ESV, it says, fan into flame the gift of God that is within you. And Galatians 5 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And you get this idea, right, of stirring up the milk or fanning the flame that's already burning, but fanning it up, or the Spirit's in you, but staying in step with the Spirit. And these ideas of God, stir me up, God, stir it up, God, fan the flame, God, let me stay in step with you, God, show me how to do this. How do we do this? Obviously, we ask him. It's one of the prayers. God, stir me. God, put your passion in me. Stir me up, God. But we do it by worshiping. We also can do it by gathering together. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. That we get together and we stir each other up. And that's what we're doing in this space right here. That's what we're doing right now. We're stirring up God's word. We're churning up that milk. We're fanning the flame. We're staying in step with the Spirit. And so as we close, I just want to pray these things over you. This is a year of dependence on him, not on us. It's 5:23, grace for the 23. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. You can get up early and stay up late. And unless you take the created thing of your life and you connect it to the eternal, it doesn't really matter. Unless the Lord builds the house, only what is done for the Lord will last. And this year, I'm making a commitment. I want to build things that will last. I want to build things that matter. I want to do meaningful work. And this changes how we measure success, and it changes what we do, and it changes our methods of operation and where we put our trust and where we put our affections and our loves, and we become more dependent on God and less dependent on ourselves. It's a new season of grace for us in the 5:23. Let me pray over you this morning. Father, I pray right now, God, for everybody within the sound of my voice, God, I pray these simple prayers, that as we move into this year, God, 523, God, where we're connecting our life in a new way to the eternal, God, I pray that you would show us. God, show us new ways to do things. God, show us the places where we've been stuck looking at the giants in the valleys. God, would you show us how to pick up your tools? God, we're going to take off our armor and our sword and the ways that the traditional thing that we have done in the past because it's the way that we do it. And God, we just want to say, God, show me how to do it. God, open our eyes that we would see wonderful and glorious things in your word. God, we are strangers walking in this land. God, do not hide your commandments from us. God, show us. God, we want to see. So God, this year in 2023, God, let us see. Show us. Show me. God, also grow us, God. Grow me, God, this year. God, in the place of pain and trial and struggle and challenge and sadness, God, the places where we so often want to ignore or avoid, God, let us confront those areas with you. And God, let us remember that there's a pain, that there's a purpose in our pain. And God, I pray that over us right now, God, that we would be bringing our pain to you. Even right now, some of you listening to my voice, that you'd just be bringing your pain to him for greater purpose. So God, grow us this year. And God, show us, God, how to grow in the areas of pain. God, fill us this year. God, fill us up. We know that theologically, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in us, but I pray that you would fill us up, God. God, show us how to draw water from the well. God, let us not forget you, and God, let us not build our own cisterns that don't hold water. Let us come to you, the source of living water, and God, fill us up. Let us draw water from you with the bucket of time and prayer. God, I pray you'd meet us in 21 days of prayer as we pursue you over these next few weeks. And then, God, use me. God, use us. God, just a pastoral prayer, God, this year is that everybody would be involved in giving, and that everybody would be involved in serving in the way that makes sense for them in their life. And God, I pray that not only for the benefit of Element Church, of the organization, but God, I pray that for the benefit of each and every son and daughter that's listening to the sound of my voice. God, let us practice godliness. God, show us how. And then God, I pray lastly that you would stir us. God, put your passion in us afresh. God, stir us up. God, get the chocolate up off the bottom, fan into flame. God, let us stay in step with the Spirit. And God, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let me just pray over you. If you've never started a relationship with Jesus before and you want to do that today, pray this with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sin. I ask you to come into my life and have every part of me. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. Come be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Hey, we love you guys so much. We hope that 2023, and hope and believe that 2023 is going to be a great year for you, that God is going to meet you and God is going to move. Grace for the 23. We love you all so much. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with us to receive Jesus, would you let us know? You can text Element to 97,000 and fill out that form. There's a box on there that says, I started a relationship with Jesus. I made a commitment to Jesus today. Let us know. We'd love to celebrate with you. And hey, for the rest of us and for all of us, let's go into a time of worship and continue to ask God where he wants us to lean into these prayers, these five prayers. God, show me, grow me, fill me, use me, and stir me. Let's go into a time of worship as we enter into 2023.